Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to a very special midday edition of the Wrestling Index podcast right here on the Floor Slapper Sports YouTube channel. And if you're watching, you can see I'm not alone. Special guest in the house. Plan to be doing this weekly. I am fucking pumped. I got Big Dick Brett from the Brain Buster Boys in the house with me. What's good, yay, son?
Yay, yay. Oh, man. Happy to be here and finally doing this. I mean, had you on our show, it's been months at this point. And I think you and I were destined to do this since the first time we met on, I guess it was one of the league streams. So, yeah, let's fucking rock and roll. And yeah, I'd say once a week at minimum, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah, at minimum, for sure. I got a couple of things I want to talk about before we go. Floor Slapper Sports, if you're not familiar, check it out, floorslappersports.com. We got sports, wrestling content. We're doing all-time drafts and lists and rankings and a whole bunch of other shit. And we're going to get into that in a second with my man Brett here on his wrestling rankings. In addition to that, right here, we are going to make a big effort to get on YouTube and to get live talking to you people a lot. So I'm going to be on here like with Brett, like Brett just said, hopefully more than once a week, talking quick things, AEW, WWE news, New Japan. Also, my boy Nick from the Universal Wrestling Podcast, plan to be doing the same thing with him, wrestling and sports. We're going to integrate them both. That's why we're Floor Slapper Sports. That's why we're not just the Wrestling Index. We're going to do both. And the beautiful thing is we're all going to fuck together
too. I was going to say, maybe we could have a threesome. Yeah.
I tried to get Nick on. Nick is going on a road trip to West Virginia tomorrow. If it was, he has a meeting in 15 minutes. Otherwise, all three of us would be fucking
now. He's got a day job, so.
So we'll be doing our thing together. I'm gonna be doing a show with my boy Mikey Streets every Tuesday night, 8:30, 9 o'clock.
The draft killer.
That's why he's not drafting, he's just there with us. But we're gonna do football. He's a fantasy football guru. No one's a guru by quotations. We'll be talking fantasy and NFL. And my guy Mike Dog and I, he's gonna do a lot of drafts. We do a lot of head-to-head drafts. I'd like to get him and I on with here, with maybe with you, all of us banging, fucking doing our thing.
I love a nice draft, baby.
And Brett.
And lists.
So. Let's go. That's what I want to talk to you about. So on Floor Slapper Sports, you were going to see soon Brett's wrestling rankings list. He has ranked over 323 matches already in 2022. What the fuck, bro? 323 matches.
332 now, baby.
Jesus Christ. Talk to me about this list.
Yeah, so that's just 4-star matches and above. And then I've got probably another 100 plus that are honorable mentions. Yeah, it's pretty sickening, but it's awesome. So, obviously my scale, so to speak, is based off Meltzer's just because, that's what I started following a few years ago. Like, really, once I started getting into New Japan is kind of when I got more into this shit. But I wasn't doing my own ratings until, kind of started doing them a little bit in like 2019, but nothing really. And it's all been with my boy Azar, who was, before I started podcasting, literally my only friend, like on my level of wrestling. So I had one person I could talk to. Now I've got like 50 and it's fucking awesome. So he and I, during the pandemic, like he lived in Atlanta, he's up in Connecticut now. We would fire up a Zoom and put on a match, like synchronize, press play at the same time, and watch matches together like throughout COVID. And it was awesome, kept us bonded, made us even closer. We still do it now because he lives out of town. But during that time, we got into 90s All Japan. We got into old Ring of Honor, old TNA, old Noah, like all this shit that we'd heard about but not really seen. So now I feel like I'm a very well-rounded wrestling fan. And yeah, we started a spreadsheet in 2021, just kind of, fuck it, why not? It's something to do. And we started just rating our 4-plus-star matches. And yeah, last year I had 283 total. And this year I have 332. And it's what, August 19th? So yeah, man. I think that's a combo of I'm watching a lot more wrestling, Stardom, Noah, ton of Impact, Tokyo Joshi Pro, barely any WWE for now. That's probably about to change. And I think wrestling is just fucking awesome. You know, like, it's so good right now. And yeah, like Stardom, you know, I don't shut up about it. Like, that's some of the best shit in the world right now that I hope more people watch. Cause like, you know, there's all this down talk about women's wrestling often, and especially in AEW. And I know we're going to get into that. And, but it's alive and well over in Japan. And, yeah, so that's just kind of the quick story. It's become an obsession, of course. You know, it's like every match, you know, and it's not like I'm doing anything different. Just watch the match and, oh, okay, that was four. Oh, that was four and a half. Oh, fuck. You know, sometimes I think about it. Oh, other times it's like, all right, done. Sometimes I'll have to rewatch a match. Like I had a match at 5 stars earlier this year that I haven't rewatched that might not be. But yeah, it's okay. Just been so much fun and an obsession. And Azar's kind of tailed off because he moved, got a new job. So he's been like backed up a little bit. So my boy JCB from Band from Ringside, who was with us in Chicago, I don't think you met him because we hung with them like at the Warrior show and then we sat with him. But like he watches everything I watch and then some. So he have been okay. He's a maniac and he
big shout out to Chad and
EGM,
Visionaries Global Media Network. You can also, you will be able to find the audio copy of this podcast on here. I mean, probably this evening. So big shout out to Chad and everything he's doing over there.
All of our brethren. Yep. Chad, JCB's Band from Ringside, but
high five, Tom.
But yeah, he's kind of filled my Azar void, so to speak, like hitting him up. Hey, did you see G1? Did you see Stardom? Cause like everyone's having their fucking tournaments right now, which is insane. G1 just finished. Noah's N1 is going on. Stardom 5-star Grand Prix.
That'd be a hell of a tournament.
Yeah. The PP, Tokyo Joshi Pro just finished their tournament. So anyway, it's an exciting time, and I told you, like, I haven't even really had the time to watch Triple H's WWE, and I want to, and I know I'm going to like it, and hell, it might even be better than AEW, who knows? Time will tell, but
The last couple of weeks, man, it has, and again, you know, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Triple H's WWE and the vision that he's had so far has been fantastic. We'll talk about that a little later. You just said it. Tournaments are galore. I'm not as well versed as everything else over in Japan as you are. I watch New Japan. That's about as far as I go. The G1 was fucking awesome. It kind of, for me, and I want to know your opinion on this, four blocks. The tournament just ended. If you're not familiar with the G1 climax, usually there's just two blocks. The winners of each block will go head-to-head, get you the winner. This year they had 4 blocks of 7, so you had a semifinals and then a finals. You got more talent into it that way. It ended up with Okada defeating Will Ospreay in a fucking match that I just was gasping. Like, it was a 6-star match. I was going crazy. I was fucking freaking out. So I want to ask you like a multi question here with the G1.
Please.
One, what are your thoughts on the 4 blocks, and would you keep it 4 blocks or go back to 2 blocks? And then who were your heroes in this tournament?
Yeah. So 4 blocks, I liked to get more people involved, but I did not like how it played out. I think the schedule is kind of what was fucking everything up. Cause like a guy like Great O'Conn didn't even, and I think Tom Lawler didn't even start their tournaments till like day 6 or something like that. And some guys had already wrestled twice. And like, there was just no semblance of like what was going on because it was so jumbled up. Like, I don't know. In D block, it's like you'll see one guy one day and then not again for like 2 weeks. Just, you know, I'm just as an example. So it was like I never really could get what was going on or what like the running standings were, or how close some, you know, I could, but it wasn't as easy as just 10 and 10 and here's the points and boom. So I didn't love the schedule, and I think they're going to go to 32 next year because you got Moxley, you got Danielson. There's other, you know, guys like Clark Connors, Yuya Yemra, Shooter Umino, whatever. You know, and maybe like Yujiro and a couple others that were in there now shouldn't be. So that's kind of my thought, no basis of that. But I feel like four blocks of eight would be a lot better. Okay. And you could probably schedule it out differently and better, I would think. Azar, like, he's insane. He's the one who made the spreadsheet. And he's, like, crunching.
Before
it started, he was, like, crunching numbers, like, how to make a 28-man work. So he, like, had it. And he's like, yeah, with 32, the schedule would be a lot better. So I'm definitely, again, I like that it's expanded because there's people that need to be in it. You know, it's like a David Finley, a Hanare. Those guys earned their spots as first timers. It's like,
even like throw them. Yoshihashi had a great tournament.
Great tournaments in a row.
Yeah, man. I love what he's been doing. And I love personally, I was a big Bronson Reed fan. So seeing Jonah perform the way he performed in the tournament, and then even like his mic work after. And I wasn't really that acclimated with Filthy Tom. And we talked about our boy Nick earlier. Nick loves Filthy Tom. So he's his favorite wrestler. I love Filthy Tom. I get it, dude. Awesome. I totally get it, man. So like I get why they did it and added to the pool, but the schedule killed me. And then I was really excited in the beginning and the end, but there was definitely a taper off in the middle for me.
I agree. And I'm usually like, I've said this a lot, 2018 G1 was maybe as good or better than like any sporting event I've ever watched. Cause I was just so into it at that point, locked in, you know, you're on every match. It's like, oh God, what's going to happen next? Kenny Ibushi was one of the block finals. I cried after that. Oh, like it was just so fucking good. There were probably five-star matches in that tournament alone. I'd have to go back and look, but it was bonkers.
What was the finals of that one?
That was Tanahashi Ibushi, which was one that I mentioned, which I've got like six or seven all time. Just
Ibushi beat Omega to get to the finals.
Correct. Yes.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. All right.
And especially the B block that year was just insane. A block was mostly, it was Tana, Okada, which they had a 5-star draw in the block final. Tanahashi only lost one match. He was awesome. Jay White in his first G1 beat both of those guys. So like that kind of, and he cheated, but that's what he does. So that kind of started his upward trajectory. And then that's when he ended up beating Okada clean in the Tokyo, which we talked about off air, like still one of the most shocking things in the last 5 years of wrestling. But what was the question?
Yeah. That was it. So, I mean, was there anyone who, like, really stood out to you? Like, Hanari beating Tanahashi that first night.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like I said, Jonah. Who was the MVP of the tournament to you?
MVP is Will Ospreay, no doubt. But that's not a surprise. I mentioned him earlier, but David Finley. The fact that they put him over Shingo and Ospreay, I mean, that's unbelievable, no matter who you are. And he performed admirably, and he's a guy that's always been kind of on the outside looking in New Japan. Because again, the roster's so stacked. Prior to this year, there's only 20 G1 spots. He just couldn't get one. But like, he had a match with Oswald. No, first he beat Jay White in the New Japan Cup last year, and they came up as Young Lions together. And I think Jay had beaten him like every time or something. So like, that was a huge moment for him. And then he had an awesome match with Ospreay. In like it might have been the semifinals, quarterfinals or semifinals. Finley went on a run, and it's like, wow, this guy's really good. And he tagged with Juice, you know, which was cool, but it's like he never really got that moment. And this was that moment. And not only those matches, like he had a bunch of other ones that I've got. That's a massive spreadsheet here, but
yo, that Juice match in particular.
That was one of my favorite, dude. Yeah, like just because Juice's intensity. I loved Juice in this tournament too, even though he only won like two matches.
I think it was two and four.
I'm gonna peek here, but just the first time, he's like rock hard Juice. Like when he would take the mic from the ring announcers the first couple of matches, like. Yeah, that Finley-Juice match was awesome. Finley El Phantasmo. So, like, in
ELP had a great tournament. Guy's in a fucking ring. Stud. God damn, dude.
He's a fantastic future babyface, no doubt. Like, I think that's already kind of starting.
Those guys in general, like, they look so good together. Jay White, ELP, Juice, and, like, Chase Owens.
I love this new Bullet Club. Yeah,
they all have, like, that same, like, look. I don't know. It's nasty, dude. Yeah, but I fucking loved the tournament. I thought it was awesome. Let's talk about the semifinals and the finals. I went back and I did watch the Naito and Ospreay match today. You know, I didn't watch it at first, and I was so excited for it, and then it got spoiled for me. And you know, it happens with technology. I stayed on Twitter, you get a text message,
and it sucks. Yeah,
it sucks because you know. They hadn't run. They've never wrestled in the 5-year stint that Ospreay's been over there. So I was really, really looking forward to that match. And they were telling the story that Naito was going to win the G1 and go into Wrestle Kingdom. So I thought naturally it was going to happen. Yeah. So I was like, "Fuck yeah, I'm all in on that story." Then he can go beat Jay White, have his last run. Because to my recollection, you know, in the story that they were telling, he kind of got dicked down after he won both the belts.
Kenta came out and fucking took him out is what happened. So he didn't really get to celebrate the roll call, as they call it. So like all the LIJ members come out and it's like Bushi, Hiromu, Takagi. It's just like a big thing with the fans. And then they all, nosotros, los ingobernables, de, watch the 2017 G1 final when he beats Kenny. That's the best one I can remember. So like that's, you know, he got his moment winning both the belts and beating Okada. And that was the 6-year journey. And I cried after that match too. Those are like two of maybe like four that I have.
So these are matches that I need to go back and watch or rewatch. Because I'm fairly certain I watched them live, but I just don't, you know, recollect.
So with that, it was just the story. And I mean, like Wrestle Kingdom 12, coming off that G1 win in 2017, he was as hot as liquid hot magma could be. And the crowd was insane. Everyone assumed Naito was going to beat Okada at the Dome, and it didn't happen. It's like, whoa, what the fuck are they doing with Naito? And then 2 years later, it didn't. It meant that much more. And that's what I was saying with Ospreay. It's going to be the same thing. Like, he hasn't beaten Okada clean. 0-2 at Wrestle Kingdom. Just lost the G1 final, even though the crowd was, you know, totally on his side, despite being a heel, you know, he played the underdog admirably. The fans wanted him to win, no doubt about that. I mean, his time will come, and it will certainly mean that much more when it does. And I could keep talking, but I kind of want you to hear some of this stuff or react to some of this stuff. But hey, for the people out there watching live, what did you think of the G1? Why don't you let us know in the comments? Well, Tim is playing father right now. So, there he is. Hey,
usually we get like a 2-hour nap. Today he chose to go down for 20 minutes, but hey, I don't care. He's live. He'll join us. We're all good, man.
All right,
baby. But yeah. So the semifinals. You told me that match was like 4.5 stars. I did go back and watch it. How much? What did you give?
I went 4.75. So I'm a generous guy. There's no doubt about that. But I've kind of got in my head just how, you know, how it works. But man, it was fresh. It was so cool just to see, like, when at one point Naito was just like laughing at him. He's like, "You laughing at me?" Like, it was just so cool. The finish, like I said, was amazing. Like, he hit the Destino, and then he kicked out, and then he went for it again. Will flipped out, finally got him in the face with the Hidden Blade. Like, holy shit. And then he kicked out, and then he hit his only Stormbreaker of the tournament, because like, the Hidden Blade is now a finisher, which I'm on board with for sure.
Oh, he delivered. It's so nasty the way he delivers it too, dude. It's fucking vicious.
I think the first one he did to the face of someone was ELP, actually. Back when they were like feuding, like maybe right after they were juniors. But yeah, I remember that first one he hit to the face was awesome. But yeah, I love the match. The pace was awesome. And again, like those two had instant chemistry. They're very opposite characters, but also they've got some similarities. And yeah, I just thought it clicked, and I can't wait to see it again.
Yeah, it was fun. I loved that really tranquilo moment for sure in the middle of the ring. You know, the showmanship between the two of them. It was a lot of fun. But I'm here for the main event, bro. I'm here for the finals. As badly as I wanted Naito in the finals, just due to the story that they were telling on commentary, they really sold me on wanting Naito to get there. I was totally down with another Okada Will Ospreay match. And that match delivered 6 stars. I'd be screaming right now if I didn't have my 3 month in my hands. All right. So I'm going to be a little tamed version of TK right now. But that match was 6 stars. I was gasping. I was holding my breath. I really wanted Will Ospreay to win. I want to see United Empire feud with Bullet Club. I think that is perfect. I think Ospreay and Jay White at Wrestle Kingdom would have been a fantastic way to go. However, the match itself, unbelievable. I love Okada. So him getting the win, getting the back-to-back recollection and recognition that he deserves is awesome.
Four-time winner now.
Huge. Now we get to go see him and Jay White, most likely at Wrestle Kingdom. And then that also leaves Will Ospreay to either wrestle, in my opinion, Kenny Omega, or in your opinion, I'll let you say that when you give your little shindig and or your little spiel, I should say.
Or my little shindig.
Oh.
Shingle.
There you go. Talk to me about this match, man. Would you rank it? Meltzer gave it 5.75.
Yeah.
What was it at your rankings?
Well, first off, we glossed over Okada Tama Tonga, which is fine. Props to Tama Tonga. Heck of a tournament. Props to Dan Bakely for making that pick before the tournament of him to win the block. I had 3 of the 4 semifinalists. I missed Tama. I had Sonata. I just kind of thought someone else was going to win that block. And, he's a finalist. He's always kind of like in the upper mid card. So, anyway, happy for Tama. Match was good. 4.25 stars. Yeah, main event. Holy shit. I don't really go above 5. I just say if it's above, we call that a scale breaker. So when Meltzer first, gave Okada Omega 6 stars, like, I'm sure I'm not the only one that used that term, but that's what we started saying. So, like, I'll denote if a match is a scale breaker, but I'm not going to say 6 stars or 6.25 because it's just kind of nonsense at that point. But, yeah, if we're talking Meltzer's ratings, I thought he was going to give it 6. And, it was fucking insane. Match of the year for me, like I said, it might be a top 25 or all time. I was making a list of all-time matches, during the pandemic. Haven't touched it in a while, but. God, it was just incredible. I rewatched it last night as well. I wanted to do it. I told you I wanted to watch it again this morning to take notes because it's like every spot, especially in the second half, was just like bonkers. And I don't have anything written down. And I'm sure we can remember some of it, but
the Styles Clash, dude, the V trigger, One Winged Angel. Dude, there was so much.
The high fly flow before that.
Yeah,
I mean, just watch Will Ospreay do a frog splash. Good lord.
Yeah, he went Tanahashi, AJ, Kenny, didn't get any of it. And then wasn't Okada yelling at him, like, don't use that man's moves against me ever again. Like, you keep that man away from me. Like, say, yo, that, I feel like that was the that was the message that he was sending.
Yeah, and of course, Ospreay and Kenny have beef. So, like, that just kind of adds to it. Like, oh, you're doing my moves, Kenny could say. So, in the finish, man, like, he kicks out of the Rainmaker, which, doesn't happen much anymore. It used to, like, Kenny kicked out of it, like, 3 times at Wrestle Kingdom. But now it's when he hits the full on twisting Rainmaker, it's rarely kicked out of. I think Ospreay was the last one to do it at Wrestle Kingdom. So he does that. I remember Chris Charlton lost his mind. Ospreay kicked out of the Rainmaker! And I just remember the very end, Okada countered something into that twisting Cobra Flosion, which he's been doing now, new move. And Ospreay countered it earlier, but then he caught him. And just like the speed and torque and everything that he hit that move with and then got him up immediately and hit him with the Rainmaker. It was, like you said, breathless. It's like one of those, like, it's hard to even put into words, but New Japan, like when those matches get so crazy down the stretch and it's just ping ponging like counters and it's so fast and you don't know what's going to happen. It's just like, oh my God. And you're like, literally you're like, and it's like, I need a cigarette after that match.
I need a cigarette.
That was a Juice Robbins. When he did commentary, like a couple nights in the 2019 Best of the Super Juniors, he was fucking great. and it was after Osprey Bandido match, which was wild. And come back, he's like, God, I need a cigarette after that match. It's just hilarious. But yeah, man, I mean, their chemistry. We got Omega Okada, Okada Osprey, and Osprey Shingo. Those are the three best matchups maybe ever in wrestling. It's in terms of like chemistry and what they can do together in the ring, speed, selling, velocity. I don't know. It's those guys are fucking crazy. All of them.
Well, I'll give you, those guys all are incredible together. I still am an OG, and I'm going to stick with HBK and The Undertaker and HBK and Bret Hart. But
yeah, those are certainly right there. And if we're talking non-Japanese shit.
Right, right. Of course, of course. Yo, 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 what's going on? Circle of the Bay. Ivan, great show last night. Thanks for tuning in.
What up? But,
Brett, any final thoughts on the G1 before we move on to CM Punk AEW drama? What's going on over there?
Yeah, so it was a great tournament. I think it's probably the weakest one since I started watching in 17, frankly.
So do you think that's because they fucking because they expanded the field? Is that why?
And the schedule and just kind of – and frankly, like, Yujiro getting 6 points, what the fuck? He had, like, 4 combined in the last few years. I know they were doing that to set up the possibility of the 7-way tie in D-Block, and I get that, but it's like, this guy shouldn't even be in the tournament. Don't give him 6 points. so I wouldn't say I was disappointed with the G1, but it definitely did not exceed my expectations. We got 2 5-star matches out of it, Osprey Shingo being the other one. Yeah, I still really enjoyed it and always do. And again, we got to see guys like Finley and Hanare kind of have a coming out party. Another underrated match is Zach Kenta, which was from like the first night. Like those two, I think they've fought in 4 straight G1s, only matches they've had. And I always tell Azar, like, Zach can bring out that old Noah Kenta like no one else. And like, it was all about, I'm senpai, you're senpai, a lot of shit talk. And Zach called him a fucking young boy at one point. And then Kenta had the win, seemingly, pulled him up twice, got cocky, and then Zach caught him in an arm submission like that. And I just, I love that.
And they tell that story back and forth now. The last 4 years, they're 2-2 now against each other.
Exactly. The G1. I hope they go at it again. I hope it's something where they're just always in the same block and they never wrestle outside of that, because that's how it's been. And, you know, that's Kenta, really cool. Since he came back, you know, it's been a little mixed bag with him. He's definitely more like going a little more comedy now, which is totally fine, but he can still turn it up and Zach brings the best out of him. But still a very, very fun tournament. Really enjoyed it, but I hope they'll learn from this and make it better next year, whether it's a 32-man field, which I think it will be. Maybe they go to 24. I don't think they're going back to 20 because, again, there's too many people that need to be there now. And guys that we mentioned earlier, these young, up-and-coming young Lions, like, they need to be involved at some point too. So.
Yep. And it's like Ivan's saying here, you know, he says a couple things here. We got one thing you have to understand. This G1 made a lot of stars. You know, he said he was disappointed in the finals. I don't know. I know why he was. I listened to the show.
Exactly.
The results of it. Overall, the whole tournament was a banger for sure. And then, exactly, we said this earlier, Ivan, 100%. You know, Yoshihashi, Finley, not so much Yujiro. I'm not so much of a fan. I like Peter, but, you know, not so much Yujiro.
Yujiro didn't need – he was made a decade ago when he was with Naito in a tag team. Like, the guys – he still has value to the company, but his matches are not exciting. Peter's great.
I love Peter.
You know, he has his moments. I like the big juice move. Always get a kick out of that. But guys should not be having 6 points.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Love. I do like the matches that he had with Chase and ELP, like working around Peter and shit. That was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then like you said, you know, made a lot of stars. It was fun in the ring as well. And then they'll be live tonight, Circle of the Bay. Our boy from Cage by IQ, Dan Bakley, Ivan, DeLorean. They'll be recapping G1. Definitely be turning into that for sure. And then in the house. What's up?
I want to make one point. So the last several years, I would have said almost certainly Ishii was the MVP every year. He, you know, again, he still was great, but I only had like one match of his at 4.5, and that was the Jay White match. But I feel like he just didn't shine as much as he used to. You know, the Tai Chi match was great. Those two are always awesome together. But a bit of a down G1 for Ishii, really to no fault of his own. But he's always just been so incredible these last few years. And he's still one of my five favorites in the world, no doubt. Stone Pitbull. Ooh,
ooh. Love him. Yeah, I was surprised that he didn't rep too many points. But let's move on from the G1. Let's get going to what the people want to talk about. I don't know if that's what the people want to talk about, but I know why I want to talk about it. You sent me a text this morning, and it's funny that Clark Street's here because he's always, you know, fuck the dirt. She's fuck the dirt.
Anti AEW too, right?
Clark Street sees it down the road. He's a okay. Really good. Clark Street's a really, really Devin's a, I don't know why I'm calling him Clark Street. Devin, yeah. Devin's a really good wrestling fan. I think he sees it just like I do. He watches it all. He calls it for how he sees it. So
I always get bombarded on the league chat. Well, no, for a league, lot of my fault because I'll fire at people.
Well, the league, no, the league chat is more WWE
for sure.
Marked out for sure. But no, Devin definitely
calls it. Which I might be soon enough. Fuck.
Dude, WWE's been on fire, and we'll get there before we get out of here. We'll get here before we get out of here. You got the Yujiro comment one more time from Ivan right quick. But yeah.
Too much Yujiro talk. Let's move on.
That was like Yoshihashi like 4 years ago.
Yeah, but now he's a king.
Yeah, I fucking love Yoshihashi. But let's talk about what the dirt sheets are reporting. Let's talk about the CM Punk thing. All right, so CM Punk was back. I did a show with Justin. You'll be able to catch that. Me and Justin are going to be doing a AEW Dynamite review every Wednesday going forward. Can't fucking wait. We did it last week.
Nice.
I was
you're all over the place now, baby. Yeah. I love it.
Now that my kid's going to be starting to sleep, dude, like 8 o'clock, I'll be able to do shit with you boys. Like, I'm really excited to talk wrestling. But yeah, last week when Punk came back, dude, and if you want to bang, we can always bang on that show too. But last week when Punk came back, I've marked out like crazy because I didn't know what we were going to get in Chicago. I thought we would get the Punk Mox match, but I wasn't for sure about it. When Punk came back, I went crazy, dude. Because I'm like, yes, dude, I'm getting my favorite wrestler in the world against the guy I got a tattoo of, and he's winning my heart back.
Yeah.
But now, all right, and again, they're just reports, all right? They're just reports. But the reports are that CM Punk is unhappy with AEW, that he threatened to walk out, that him and Hangman Page had beat, that Hangman Page line wasn't scripted. Again, I don't understand that whole scripted thing because they don't script their promos, so I don't understand that whole thing at all. How is a company who doesn't script promos?
I think it was just unscripting promos.
I understand. I get what you're saying for sure. So if all of this is true, what a fucking pussy cocksucker. Like, just go away, dude. Just
little
go away.
Bitch.
Never ever. And again, I'm gonna figure out a way to get it covered. All right. Like, when he left WWE, I understood it. All right. It was for his like laurels, his morals. You know, they were dicking him down. He thought he should have been the main event of WrestleMania. I agree, whatever. You know, he stood on his ground. He didn't come back. He finally comes back to a company. He wants to help build a company. He wrestles younger talent. He helps put him over. And now reports are he refuses to lose the Hangman. He has beef with Hangman over a Colt Cabana line. Come on, dude. And then he threatens to walk out of the company again.
Yeah, or no show Dynamite, you know, and levying threats.
Again, I told you that this very much could be a work and it could be a way to be pushing Punk heel. And this could all be him masterminding it all, which would be awesome, dude.
Absolutely.
So I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to chastise the guy, the character, call him any names and anything. Yeah. I'm going to let the story play out. I am very unhappy, though, that this match is going on in Dynamite, as I feel like they are the two biggest stars, and with Kenny Omega, the three biggest stars in that company by far and away, and that is a huge, huge, huge main event caliber match. And as a greedy-ass wrestling fan that I am, I will be at the show, and I want Punk Moxley live in person so I can go, CM Punk, let's go Mox! CM Punk, let's go Mox!
Or just, let's go Mox! Let's go Mox!
I can't do that because, like I always say, going to a CM Punk
I know,
match,
and I told you, I'm a Punk guy too, but
I'm a
Mox. Even this aside, I was already on Team Mox.
But, So I'm back and forth on that. I love the two. I was like 60-40 mocks anyways, as crazy as that sounds. I just love everything that he does, dude.
But each of them are from our hometowns.
And they are, dude. They are. Talk to me, bro. I thought everything CM Punk has been doing up until these rumors has been phenomenal. But again, these are just rumors, and he could be working us in the biggest way right now. Talk to me.
Yeah. One, I didn't even think about that until you said it. Now it's everywhere. Could it be a work? Just because, you know, I read it last night. I read something else this morning, and just it didn't. My brain just didn't go there. It's just like, and you know, dirt sheets. Believe what you want to believe. Read, you know, they are what they are. They are not facts. We'll see what happens. You know, it's honestly kind of a shame they exist, because it's like I'd rather not be hearing about this. But so when you're gone, it throws me off. But yeah, I was I'm a little pissed off too, if it is true. If really all of this is over the Colt Cabana line, which it largely seems like it allegedly is, grow up, man. I mean, and if he was trying to get him fired, like, come on. They were best friends. Like, at least be somewhat civil. Stay away from each other. I don't know. But don't let this fuck your spot in the company, or you fuck someone else's spot in the company. It's just not a good look. Regardless if it is a work, I don't think it's a good look, because these reports are major backstage heat. You know, again, maybe it's all part of the plan. But it's like, I'm as big an AEW fan as any, and I haven't watched WWE consistently in 4 years, but it's like WWE starting to go like this, and AEW, I'm not going to say down, but it's, you know, and I'm with you. Like, let's wait. Let's see. If it is a work, it's genius. If it's not, we got some problems. And that TK, and you know, this is kind of, he's got his guys. It's pretty clear. He gives those guys a lot of leeway. And but I will say, the whole Hangman thing, I did, whether that was scripted or not, I did not like it. Because it had nothing to do with what was going on right now. It's like, we want to hear you talk about Mox. That happened 3-4 months ago, and you won. You know, you won. You shouldn't have won, but you won. So shut up. Pissed me off before the reports even came out.
Well, I agree with you. I don't agree with you that he shouldn't have won. I don't think he should have been in the title match. MJF should have been the one to take the belt off Hangman.
That's what I'm saying.
Of MJF in the future.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Not that he shouldn't have won it, period, but at that moment. Right.
And that Matt Heaney should have been in that match, period, for sure. I do. That should have been MJF's moment, which is why I think MJF is pissed, because he should have been the one winning that belt right there and then from Hangman. I thought that was the story they've been telling for 2 years.
The two faces of the company. You're supposed to be, when it started.
Hangman was going to win the belt eventually from Kenny, and then MJF was going to take it off Hangman, and then you could run the CM Punk MJF blood feud that they had, and it would have been awesome.
Yeah.
I agree with Ivan. I'll pop it back up. You know, he says he feels by Wednesday we'll get our answers. I agree 100%. And then, of course, Devin, you know, it's true because the sources confirmed it. Not from Tony, not Hangman or CM Punk, but the sources. Definitely true.
So let me talk about Mox Punk allegedly going on next week. So that's happening. I think we talked. Yeah. I just have to think if this is going to lead to a match at All Out. Like, there'll be some sort of, you know, AEW's not done fuck finishes much or DQs or anything like that. But this is as good a time as any. So, like, I guess they said Tony Khan couldn't keep them apart long enough. We have to have the match next week. So the fact that they said that makes me think, you know, something fishy's going to happen. Maybe it's a double pin, a double count, a double, like, knockout. You know, that's something Stardom's done before. So, you know, there's a lot of ways they could go, but I would be very hard to believe not seeing this match at All Out. So I'm at least thinking positively and hoping that Wednesday will lead, you know, maybe like a last man standing or some sort of, because it's clearly, it's intense already. And dude, these guys, so like, the promos were fucking awesome, aside from the Hangman shit.
The first
pissed me off.
the first head-to-head was incredible.
It was awesome, yeah.
Yes, yo, bro, there was no fucking reason for that Hangman line. I agree with you, which is funny, because I was pissed off when he said it in the first place, especially when I found out the Hangman wasn't even in the building because he was out for some anxiety shit. So I was like, Punk, like, took a shot at his anxiety. And, I mean, I don't know. I think you suffer. I have fucking bipolar. I have anxiety shit. So, yeah, like, as someone who has that.
As well.
Yeah, like, yeah. So as someone who has that shit, like, I don't like Punk taking the shot at all. But yeah, then fucking, I loved everything after that. Punk's promo was fucking lights out. Although, you know, everyone's like, everything he said was factual. Fuck off. He ain't the third best member of the Shield. All right, maybe today he is. Maybe not tomorrow. You know, all three of them are gold. They're so fucking good. He certainly ain't the third best member of the BCC. He beat Eddie Kingston for the goddamn title. Like, slow down, Punk.
Twice.
Mox's promo was fucking fantastic. But I loved all the little Easter eggs, as the fucking kids call it, that Punk was throwing out with Kingston and John Cena and Eddie Guerrero. That was dope for sure. And, you know, I do agree with Ivan, too. With Triple H taking over, he's making his moves. It's a chess game, and Tony Khan's got to do what he's got to do. Maybe this is his play, making it real life. You remember in 1997, what Vince McMahon did with the Attitude Era, he made that real life again. Maybe this is that way of making it what they say.
And he was already doing it with MJF, you know, like that's kind of step one.
And this, right. And then, you know, he said he feels it's too soon for Punk to be back. You know, who knows what's going on? Maybe there's a triple threat. Maybe Punk just... What if Punk walks out because he's not really ready to go?
I know. JR,
Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say JR said on some podcast he doesn't think he's cleared.
So what if Punk's not even ready to go? He walks out just like MJF walked out. Or what if MJF... All right, and I'm a hater because I keep saying I want Punk and Mox. But what if Punk walks out, MJF walks in, hero face... takes the title, but who's going to be rooting for MJF against Mox? That's the hard thing. Who's rooting against Mox unless you hit in Chicago, unless you put CM Punk in front of him?
Yeah.
That's why I don't get how you do that. But there's another way they go. All I know is that while I'm not happy about the rumors, he got us talking.
Yeah, for sure. For better or worse. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. And yeah, let's say Punk is healthy and this match is only happening next week. And let's just say Punk, well, who cares who wins? What's the match at All Out? You know, MJF is the only thing that could make some sort of sense, way more for CM Punk than Mox. But yeah, there's no way, like, you're going to, that's in what, 3 weeks, less than 3 weeks? It's like, what could you even do in that time?
I messaged you this morning just to shoot the shit. You know, messaged me all day. I feel like
now it's AEW talk, Danny.
I feel like I'm talking to my girlfriend right now. I was gonna invite you on too, but you didn't answer my text all day.
Oh shit.
I love you, Bakley. But yeah, man. Ivan totally agrees. He said it last night. I mean, I'm excited to see where they're gonna go from here. I just was really, like I said, I was excited for the thought of CM Punk and Jon Moxley one-on-one. In Chicago.
It still might.
Twitter, Bakley, Twitter. Like, first thing when I woke up, Meltzer, 5¾ star match. I sent you that message. Let's see, Justin from the Justin Time podcast. And Bakley, everybody hyped your show up a couple times. That's why I ain't hype you again.
But yeah, and I gave you props for picking Tama Tonga. So,
yep, for sure. Justin Time podcast, great show. Like I said, me and Justin are going to be doing Wednesday nights. MJF comes back, AEW should give him the title, no second thoughts. I mean, if that's the story, then that's what they got to do. This, when MJF comes back, they have to give him the title, 100%, right? Like, that's the story.
Yeah, but then again, it's like, he's got squashed by Wardlow. I'm still going, like, I hated that. So, because of this, like, you want to bring him back, it's like, yeah, it's been a while, but it's like, I don't forget that. I don't think it's, that's not, I don't know. I just hated that. I thought it should not have been a squash. Yeah, time away, heals wounds, but how do you heat him up for a world championship run coming off of that?
Right. I get that, and that's why that fire promo takes away from that match itself. People forget about it. You know, it's wrestling.
I know.
Yeah, you know, people forget about it really quick. They aren't going to remember.
And then where's Wardlow been since then? You know,
right now.
All right, let's go.
That's a transition. You literally transitioned for me.
So see? Wardlow and FTR against the Lethal Sing Clowns?
Dude.
What the fuck are we doing?
What are we
doing? Three of the hottest characters in AEW all summer.
Agreed.
Wardlow's barely been seen since he won the... This is the same fucking thing that happened with Thunder Rosa. Frankly, even with Hangman a little. It's like TK does not know how to book, especially babyface champions. I even wrote a fucking article on the Sportster about it months ago about Hangman and Thunder Rosa. And it's the same fucking thing right now. It's like, how do you put those three on the pay-per-view? And let's not forget, FTR was not on the last pay-per-view. They've been ranked number one for 5 months and haven't gotten a fucking title shot. They need to get rid of the rankings. They're pointless. They mean nothing. You have Private Party, the number five team, challenging. Why? With no mention of it. Yeah, it's so stupid. I've been saying that for me. Or truly have them mean something and have like a 5-4 match, a 2-3, like,
right?
Okay, yes. then they would actually be meaningful.
Go up the ladder for sure. Correct. Not just because you're in the top five, you get a title shot. No, that's crazy. And dude, that's exactly what I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about what Wardlow had, the nice match with Cassidy. Even the quick thing with Lethal's fine. Cool. You have a one-off with him. But go from there. What are you doing? You have this whole roster of big beefy guys like Miro, Hobbs. Even you could have incorporated
Keith Lee. I know he's in a tag team, but come on.
But who is doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Feuding with Mark Sterling.
Like that,
who I love, but
and it's the whole, and like you said, it's the baby face who wins. He has absolutely no idea what to do with him. Swerve and our glory has done nothing since winning the tag titles. Wardlow has done nothing since winning the TNT title. Thunder Rosa's women's championship reign, while it has, I agree with Bakely that it hasn't been good because her promo skills aren't the best. I think the booking has done her absolutely no favors. Mm-mm.
Oh boy, yeah, there's just a lot of, I don't want to say negativity, but yeah, I'm certainly a little more down on AEW than I have been. Especially coming out of Double or Nothing was not the greatest. You know, I thought that was probably a bottom three pay-per-view they've ever done, and it was still quality, but in comparison to their other pay-per-views, like, it wasn't that great. But then they've done some good shit this summer too, but it's just like, yeah. TK needs to share the pencil. You know, I don't think he needs to give it away because he's not going to give it away. But, you know, I think when this company started, we all had the thoughts of like, okay, Kenny, Cody, the Bucks, they're going to be booking with him, which I think maybe did happen. And then he took it, but it's like someone needs to step in and just check him. I think it's as simple as that. Like, I don't know who that would be. You know, these given all these promotions backstage, it's like, let somebody check him.
I'm seeing, I got in the comments here for all the stuff MJF did to Wardlow beforehand during the feud. The squash makes sense now, in my opinion. You got, I've been saying, you know, Tony Khan's got William Regal back there. Let him allow creative.
Yeah.
You've got Dean Malenko, sure. Jerry Lynn, Pat Buck, Dustin Rhodes.
Legends.
You have all of these people here.
My boy BJ Whitmer.
There you go.
He made it on TV. He was the guy in the pink polo trying to hold Mox back. Yeah, there's so much experience back there. Yeah, Regal. Pat Buck was like the top producer. WWE guys, you know?
I like how they all got promoted backstage after the Jonathan Gresham debacle, how, you know, everything came out. Like, he didn't talk to Gresham or...
Was that kind of the onus of this?
Because of all the rumors that there's no communication backstage and no one knows who's in charge with Christopher Daniels. So then they promoted those three, you know, Madison Rayne to a trainer, Pat Buck got promoted. I forget.
Shivani, maybe.
And QT Marshall. So
tight.
I love QT.
QT dude, fucking rules.
Yo, he's a great trainer. He's great in the ring. He's awesome at
elevating. How hot did he get the United Center for match one of the pre-show? You know, like, that crowd fucking hated him.
He's so good, bro.
Yeah.
So good.
Anyway.
But yeah, man, I wanted to come in and I wanted to just kind of, you know, everyone says I'm AEW Mark, I'm this, I'm that. I got a lot. And Brett too.
And we've been ripping on it the whole time.
And all I wanted to do basically was come on here and shit on AEW. Because I'm very bothered. I'm very irritated. They're not doing much well at all. The in-ring is still good. I appreciate the in-ring. Thank you. That's good. But when you're going to go out and sign 110 wrestlers to your roster and then put belts on the likes of Keith Lee and Swerve and Thunder Rosa and Wardlow, how about you do something with them? Why isn't Wardlow and Miro in a feud right now? House of Black? Why are they even in this trios tournament? Where is Miro? Where is Miro? Dude. Like, God.
And that's then why? Four-way.
Yo, Brett, Dragon Lee, why did they kick him out?
I know. Oh, I was so happy to see him. I love that guy. Yeah, man. And I think it also goes back to something. Everybody is too protected in this company. Everybody. Nobody can lose unless you're a fucking jobber or a mid-carder.
It's true.
Like, that's why I loved when Garcia beat Brian, even though it took Jake Hager's hand. Like, that was one of the rare instances of, like, a true upset. And this company needs more of that because everything is too predictable. And nobody can move up because you're not beating anyone because no one at the top can lose. And I think that's been a problem since.
No one in the mid card could lose. Nobody could lose.
That's what I'm saying. Anyone that matters doesn't lose.
And bro, can you tell me, Brett, how they have a ranking system, but they have three singles champions and only five guys like to go against them? If you're going to rank them, why don't you separate those titles? You mean to tell me that the TNT title and the All Atlantic Championship mean the same as
they're all equal, baby?
No, they're not. No, they're not. I know. I'm just saying.
I'm going to go back to something Bo said last year. Who gives a fuck about rankings? Because they suck. They need, like I said, I may send my boy a text message and be like, have your fucking rankings matches. Make them fucking matter. If that mattered, then it would be cool. You know, if it really mattered and they, it's not hard.
Yo, and you really have to, have different divisions, dude.
And let people lose.
Down. Yes.
Because no one's going to get over if these top guys don't lose, you know?
He brings them in and they never lose.
On Dynamite, like, let guys upset somebody.
And put people on Dynamite. I got into a big argument with Bakely yesterday. And you know what? I like to hear your opinion on this, all right? For all of you in the comments down there, I appreciate and love you guys, your comments. I'm going to keep reading them out. I thought my kids would be taking a good 2-hour nap today. They ain't cooperating, but this show's gonna roll.
Yeah, we're rolling.
I got my hands full right now. But I'm gonna read them. Devin just shout out. AEW is the third best wrestling promotion when it comes to storytelling. They're behind WWE, including 2.0 and Impact. And then
Impact crushing it this year. I will say that
they had a great main event last night. I really enjoyed the show again yesterday.
I haven't watched it yet, but I'm gonna be tuning in for Emergence ruled.
Yeah,
Josh Alexander, Alex Shelley ruled.
Yeah, it was great. And then Bakely just said, have like a 1-2-3 kid type of guy beat like a bigger guy. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Just like a few like that, dude.
Please.
But it's but bro, can I just get people in like, all right, I actually want to go back to the thing I was talking about really quick with FTR, okay? So I have this conversation with Bakely, and it goes back to what we were just talking about with Wardlow, okay? FTR is all these champions, in my opinion, does nothing for them. They would be better suited if they were just the AEW champions on TV every Dynamite and presented as the star tag team champions on their show. He says
competing
it's
competing in matches and winning matches
against the Lucha Bros teams and House of Black and LFI, you know, different
teams. Why don't they do that with every fucking title? You know, like
I know. But like, you know, and then Ritter, you know, love the Smackin' Raw podcast.
I'm going to be on there tonight.
Fuck yeah, there we go, baby.
Midnight tonight, Pornhub debut, baby.
Hell yeah, that's go. I'm jealous, dude. You're getting, my guys are fucking each other. Damn.
Yeah, you'll have to watch and jerk off.
I'll be cranking or something. My kids don't understand.
Yeah, they liked it.
They have no idea what I'm saying. Damn, they're under two. They don't know. That's awesome. But yeah, he agreed with Bakely, and I was just like, damn, okay. I would have thought I would have thought them being more important here in America over instead of international is more important in my opinion. I think them being over on AEW television every week and being presented as the best tag team in the world is more important than whatever they're doing because they're not doing anything. Sure, they won the IWGP Championship in a triple threat at Forbidden Door, but what did they do before that? And what have they been doing since then?
Nothing.
So why aren't they presented? I love Swerve and Keith Lee, but why ain't Keith Lee wrestling Wardlow for the TNT title and Swerve in some, like, you know, mid-card just regular feud with somebody? I just don't fucking get, like, Darby. Like, why ain't Swerve and Darby just in a feud?
Yeah.
You had Miro and Wardlow, FTR, Lucha Bros, LFI. God, even FTR and Swerve in our glory. God!
There's so much talent. Let them compete! And let someone win and someone lose, God damn it. It's that simple.
Shout out.
Like, what's the harm in that? You know, and then don't even get me started on Dark and Elevation, even though I'm the one bringing it up.
Don't even get me started on Rampage. Rampage is the shittiest television show since Thunder in 2001.
It has moments. There's been great matches. There's been great shows. But recently it's been pretty dog shit. Yeah. Fuck. Well, I was going to look something up earlier, but I don't remember what.
Rampage has been trash, bro. Dark and Elevation, I'm fine with Dark and Elevation because, you know, they're there to, you know, I like the independent wrestlers getting on the TV.
I do too.
But Brett, I don't ever want to see again. I don't want to see Thunder Rosa teaming with Toni Storm and who is their partner? And Hikaru Shida against Emi Sakura, Marina Shafir, and Nyla
Rose. While you're saying that, the fact that Emi Sakura has not been on television since 2019, even though she's been over here now for well over a year, that woman trained so many of the best women's wrestlers in the world. And I know that's why they brought her over here, to train these women or help them. But it's like, she can fucking go. Put her on television, because you don't have enough women that can.
Right, and that's a Rampage match.
No, we do, but they're not booked well enough.
As much as I don't like Shafir, you put that match on Rampage, you could hide her. Those are six women who belong on Rampage. Instead, that's a dark match when you're still building this crap Jay Cargill and Athena feud that's only been built around Layla Gray and Baddie.
Dan Statlander was part of it, and now she's out. You know,
according to the dirt sheets, Stat was supposed to wrestle Rosa at All Out.
Oh, really?
Athena was supposed to wrestle Jade, and they were supposed to go that route.
So I've been calling for a Statlander heel turn for months. You know, like, that would have been perfect. That would have been I would have had her beat Thunder Rosa. She's big.
She's the one.
Intimidating. She can fucking work. She's awesome. Like, she's one of the best they have on that roster. And I was, like, getting really excited for, like, this new change in character. And, like, when she was in the ring, she looked like a fucking badass. And it's like, keep doing this. Or that she was going to be the one to dethrone Jade. But I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, probably. But yeah, I'm really, really bummed about Statlander getting hurt, regardless of booking and what else. Like, she's just awesome. And this is her second, like, 6 to 8 month injury in the last, like, 2 years. So it just blows. Yeah,
it's horrible. She was on fire, too. She changed her match. She looked great. She was getting better and better in the ring. And
she's such a beast, man. Like, she's so good.
I thought she'd be the one who would beat Jade, but I was wrong. Yeah. Devin says that's just a Monday night match for the women. It is. They do six women match not every Monday, but Raw knows how to get their women on TV. WWE had, even for before sure. Triple H took over, had been doing a good job. Matches weren't long, but they had been getting them on TV. Justin, Emi Sakura, love Emi Sakura, would love to see her on Dynamite more instead of being on Dark
she's
Elevation.
Amazing.
Bakely, AEW wrestlers got hurt way too much. They need to start using people less and have a more diverse roster. Bakely, I don't know how they could possibly use their guys less because I don't see their guys enough, in all honesty. I understand, like,
I get what he means.
I do too. No, I do too. I get, like, you using different guys in different.
I don't understand how you can see.
But I get that aspect of it for sure. Because they got such a big roster, so you can use it diverse, split it up. But fuck it. Before we get out of here, do you just split the roster then? Not this ROH bullshit, but I think ROH is hurting AEW. I've said it for a while. I don't think it does them any favors. I think Tony is just wearing himself thin.
Doesn't know what he's doing with it yet.
He doesn't know what he's doing with AEW yet. He's trying to build one brand with AEW. How are you going to try to build a second brand with ROH and make them both grow together?
Not to mention running Fulham and the Jacksonville Jaguars. The guy just does too much.
Bakely said using top stars, less developing more people. Yeah. I agree. No, I'm
but that's kind of what we've been saying this whole time is how do you develop someone unless they beat someone that's higher up the card than them? You know, like that's how you elevate is getting wins against people you shouldn't be getting wins against Otherwise, what's the fucking point? You're winning all the matches you're supposed to win against lower talent.
Yeah. Devin, use them less than wrestling once a week.
Or you don't see them for a month.
Right. The champions. They only get like 30-second backstage like vignettes or something. Ivan Statlander, underrated. Agree or give a change was needed. Rules. Hoping she'd be the next in line for either. 100%.
So, other than Jade, 100%. She's the only like big woman that they've got. And they started booking her in the ring or letting her show in the ring like how much of a beast she is and throwing people around. And it's like, and she can flip, and she's just so athletic and such a unique athlete. And again, it's just a bummer she's out. But and hopefully when she comes back, you know, like things will be a little better and she can slot back in and get her moment. But
digression in the women's booking AEW is horrible. It's been horrible. It is horrible. They have the talent there.
That's the thing. They do have the talent.
Even in my opinion, bro, this Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm match, which I'm not looking forward to. I don't want it at all. It makes absolutely zero sense. And the champion beat her clean. Why she gets another rematch? Because she wants a rematch. Britt Baker to the match. All right.
Yeah.
I don't care what anyone's feelings are on DMD.
Yeah, it would make it different and unique. Hell, add Jamie Hayter. Let's make it a four-way.
Let's do it.
Hayter is one of the best women on the roster. Let's make that clear right now.
Very much so.
She needs to split from Britt, probably be a heel. Yeah.
Like 6 months ago, dude. Like, why is this still a thing?
I wrote an article last week on this very subject as well, thesportster.com. But yeah, Jamie Hayter, so underutilized. She's so damn good.
Bakely rather have Hayter than Britt. That's fine. Put Hayter in. It's different, man. But different is different. I think Britt's a star. She's the biggest women's star still, in my opinion.
Jamie could be.
I agree. Like,
any little moment she's gotten to talk, which is barely any, and I don't think she's ever really talked like promo in the ring. But like her and Toni Storm had one of those backstage promos with like Shivani in the middle, and like she's good. Like she can talk. She's got intensity. You know, her British accent just sounds good. She can obviously work. Her facial expressions, I think, are as good or better than anyone in the women's division. Obviously, she hasn't done the DMD, so like it's coming. But what are we waiting for? Maybe Statlander's injury will maybe push her up quicker.
Hopefully we get that feud, because I'd love to see another feud in the women's division for sure. Absolutely. And
chaos going on over there.
Yeah, my kid can't get a toy out of his toy box. He's not happy about it, let me tell you.
Well, let's respond to Nick's comment.
Yeah, that's why I got it up. And Team Taz, we even brought them up. Team Taz is officially done. What do you think, or what do you do with Starks and Hobbs? What I personally would have done, here's what my kid wanted. He wanted to bring over my Hasbro.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right. This is a little Jeep. Future tag team champions, no doubt. All right. But my quick answer to it is what I would have done. I wouldn't have split them yet. They were the only – them and Swerve and Our Glory had a feud that's been ongoing for months.
And it's been good.
It's been a great feud. And they actually – Team Taz had Swerve and Our Glory's number. So what I would have done is I would have had – waited for the breakup. I would have had one more match at All Out. It would have been a ladder match for the belt. Swerve and Our Glory would have won. After that, Hobbs splits on him. And then you just have them one-on-one feud. If you didn't do that right now, I would have just incorporated them with Wardlow and did Wardlow versus Hobbs versus Starks for the TNT title. Because those are three legitimate mid-card talents right there.
Yeah, that all sounds great. I just hope both of them don't get lost in the shuffle, and I don't think that's going to happen. You know, Hobbs got a little promo time this week, again, backstage, but he sounded great. You know, we haven't really seen him talk too much, and Starks, we know, is a budding star, but again, can he get to that next level? Will they allow him to truly get to that next level? You know, I don't know who – is this match going to happen at All Out? I don't know. Possibly. I mean, it's pretty similar feud-wise to, like, Christian and Jungle Boy, which is going to happen. But we know Ricky Starks is going to be a star. The guy can talk with the best of them. He's got the look. He's great in the ring. I think it's only a matter of time, but you got to let him beat people. Like, I don't know. And maybe Hobbs gets this win first. you know, like as the big, in the bigger heel, you know,
probably right. Underneath.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
That's what I would do. I would personally would build Hobbs to go feud with Wardlow. Is what I would do.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah. We'll see.
I do think it goes down. I do think this match goes on at All Out for sure. I look forward to it. I think it'll be a very good match. Just too soon, in my opinion. They could have waited like 3 or 4 months.
But I agree. Like having them challenge and lose for the, because they hadn't lost to them in a one-on-one or regular tag match.
They had not, and they had singles clean wins over them as well. So I really thought that story told itself. And now we're gonna have about a ten day build of LFI against a Swerve in Our Glory for the tag belts. That's what me and Bakely pretty much think is going to go on, because they're telling the story with Private Party here. They're going to get upset when Private Party loses. They're going to turn on them. Private Party is going to turn face. And then it'll be Andrade and Rouge taking on Lee.
Which will be a great match. But
fantastic. Yeah, I mean, but why do you just spend 10 days building it? My God. And then we got Ivan. Look, at this point, Connie is to begin pushing his stars.
Ethan Page.
Hobbs. Thank you for bringing that up, Ivan. Before we get out of here, I want to talk about what Stokely Hathaway is doing. I really like that little crew he's putting together. I think Ethan Page would be a fine leader. Lee Moriarty is so talented. And then the Gun Club, they're great, dude.
Absolutely.
Big fan. Do you think that'll be a faction, or do you think it'll be, I've seen people say like he might be just Bobby Heenan in them, like old school Bobby the Brain, where he just would just manage them and they're not like necessarily always together.
Yeah, they had like the Heenan family. So I think I could see that more than like a full, because we've got enough factions at this point. But yeah, like having, you know, I don't know what it would be, not the Stokely brand, but you know, something of that. They have a name for it. And yeah, I like that better almost than like a full-fledged faction. Just like, you know, they're all under the Stokely tree. You know, sometimes they'll tag together, but they don't always need to be seen together. I think that would be awesome, and high marks for Stokely Hathaway since coming over. Like, I didn't watch a ton of him as Malcolm Bivens in NXT, but always liked what I saw, and the guy's been great. I mean, he's at least tried to add some spice to this women's division. You know, it's been kind of all over the place with that feud, and now Statlander gone, but yeah, the thing with Ethan Page, that was the Dynamite I was at, and it was just so funny, like just seeing Ethan Page cut the promo to the camera, and Stokely's just standing behind him for like 3 minutes before he realizes that. But yeah, I love it. It's hopefully it'll give guys TV time. We've had enough fucking Dan Lambert and all that shit. Like that's gone. All right, now let's get Stokely and his boys in there. And yeah, Ethan Page, let the man work.
He would have been a perfect opponent for Wardlow, man. I mean, I guess he took the belt off Scorpio Sky. But where the
hell has he been?
He's injured, I believe. And I was just going to say, it would be perfect if Scorpio Sky came back as a face then, rejuvenated, cool character. He can feud with Ethan Page. You know, I guess you're doing that with Hobbs and Starks, but you could just get that match off. It's a Dynamite match, not a pay-per-view match, but you know, that helps. And you can even have Page win, help elevate his character, because Sky's already elevated and has been a champion. And I agree with
Ivan.
His reign was awful. Everything. I got one more question for you. I'm going to read these comments. I got one more question for you. Then we're going to get out of here. Damn, this has went way longer than I thought. It's been a lot of fun, dude. Expect with us, dude? Ivan says Stark has the mic skills and the charisma to be the next top guy. I know he looks like he looks like a very small Dwayne Johnson out there, dude. He's magnificent. And Wardlow is another one as well. They should have began having Wardlow do an open challenge for TNT title. Yes. Absolutely. Every single week.
Why not?
Yes. Every week. They have the roster for it.
Because even in that scenario where Wardlow should be winning, you know, think when Cody was TNT champ the first time, you know, he wrestled Jungle Boy and Eddie Kingston and all these people who they were put over in the process of losing, you know, and I think they could do that with Wardlow.
Dude, so many people. Eddie Kingston got so built, dude. Darby, man. Even like the Warhorse match, like he came in and looked awesome. Justin just said this. I hope it's not true, man. Starks and Hobbs probably have that match, and then they get relegated dark elevation at Rampage, God, facing random people. I hope not. I really don't. Ivan likes the Heenan style, and then they need to structure. They need structure, period. Cool, guys. So while we're talking about structure, that's my question, and then we're going to roll. My question is this to you guys, okay? Or, well, to you, Brett, and I guess, you know, people out there. Cody Rhodes. He's been gone about 5 months. The product has significantly gone downhill. Cody was my least favorite part of AEW television in the ring. What was he doing backstage? Was he having a huge influence? Like, is this downfall because Cody's not there? What do you think?
I hadn't thought about that, but... And I wouldn't call it a full-fledged downfall. You know, it's still, by and large, a pretty, I'd say, a good to great show most weeks on Dynamite, at least. Yeah. It's always
we just want better.
For it's, sure. It's and still, we know it's not that hard.
Dude, with the roster that they have, it's easy. Yeah. All right, we just want better. That's all. And they were giving us better, which is the problem. Go ahead.
But yeah, I'm thinking, no, you're fine. Like, I think there definitely could be something to that with Cody. I mean, again, dirt sheets, reports, what have you. Like, I remember that came out, said, like, he was, like, isolated backstage. And fuck that. Like, guy, I think guys respected him. You know, he had kind of had his guys as well. But yeah, I mean, clearly he had a lot of influence backstage to some degree. So, you know, I think his absence, I'm sure, is being felt in some way, but it's wild how quickly that changed. Cause you know, everyone in like the league chat and WWE fans and us as AEW fans are like, yeah, Cody's not important anymore and don't really care as much about him. You know, he still was having some good shit, but and then now he comes over, and rightfully so, he's been amazing. And now all the WWE fans are like, he's the best wrestler in the world. It's just funny how it's all worked out. And kudos to him. He made the right fucking move at the right fucking time. And he's one of the biggest stars in the world. And it's only going to get bigger when he comes back. And I'm happy for him. And he's much better suited over there than he is in AEW now, no doubt about it. And
as the person who hated Cody, as I just said, and everything involved with what he did in AEW, the whole I got offered $500,000. I got brought back for $5 million. I started my own fucking promotion because I am of the belief that he is the catalyst behind that company. I know everyone else says it was the Elite. I believe it was Cody. And he started that company, the biggest competition, you know, I don't call it competition, but on paper and talent-wise, the biggest competition WWE's seen since WCW.
Yep.
And then he comes over and is presented like $1 million, all right? So it's just the whole thing for me, the presentation, and then what he did, what the man himself did, that's why I'm feeling Cody the way I'm feeling right
for
now.
For sure. And he should be, you know, again, kudos to him. For everything. Hey, baby.
I try to keep him off screen. I don't want my kids screaming.
Just that sick head of hair.
He came out that way. Crazy, bro.
The one thing, and I watched all the matches, the Cody Seth, you know, I still watch some WWE, but not really much Raw or SmackDown, but I still don't think they should have had him beat Seth 3 times. You know, like last year.
Oh, he should have lost the second match, bro. But it's
just like they did with the Rollins Edge feud last year, which was excellent. Like that was the best thing WWE main roster did last year, I think. And frankly, this has been the best thing they've done this year so far. It's only going to get better. I know. I really am like excited to start watching more of it because I know it's good. And like that's why I wasn't watching. It just wasn't for me anymore. And there's so much other great shit out there. But like I was WWE to my bones up until like 2017. That's all I watched. That's all I knew. You know, I still got an awesome grasp of the history. And I still watch the old shit almost every night, like help like old Raws or old pay-per-views, whatever. It's what I put on to go to sleep more often than not. So yeah, when all these tournaments are done, I'm going to be dipping my toes in the WWE pool a little more. And yeah, I said it jokingly, but I might be a bigger WWE fan than AEW before the end of the year.
And the next time we get together, we're going to dive in and we're going to dive into WWE and I'll help fill you in and we'll talk about what's going on over there. Like I said, quick synopsis, the women's wrestling's already been hot. The people they brought back have been awesome. The in-ring already has been better. They got 18-minute matches on Raw. Are you kidding me?
I haven't watched them, but have seen, you know, what's going on.
They're developing a tag team division. They're having new, fresh stuff in the ring, fresh segments. That Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens segment.
I heard it. I need to watch it. I heard it was amazing. And the match.
And the match was great. The promo. Yeah. we're wrestlers in a wrestling ring. Let's freaking wrestle. I'm like,
They're like aggressively like
Drew goes to Kevin Owens. We're wrestlers in a freaking wrestling ring. Let's wrestle. And I'm like,
and you know, I love KO. So I'm going to have to watch that.
I do too. It was awesome. Ivan says the downfall is when Tony Khan took over creative, when the issue of the Elite booking the matches, too much ego took over. Yeah, I could see that for sure. And then at the end of the day, the last say is Khan, but he needs to allow creative freedom.
Sure.
Structure, 100%,
that's
man.
What we were saying. Like, have a team. Yeah. Whether it's William
Develop
Regal.
Develop a team. Yep.
And fuck, William Regal would be the perfect person because he's been over there. He.
Perfect, man.
Come on,
perfect.
Tony. Come on, Tony.
Put it together, man. You got the roster. You got the talent. It's been there. I still love AEW. I'm AEW to its core. I'm going to every show that's around here. I get their crate every month, dude.
There's still
I'm all in on AEW.
Still a small chance I might be coming to All Out.
Well, if you do, we're banging, baby, and I can't wait.
I haven't talked to my guy yet, but hoping to make that happen. So
awesome. Well, bro, Brad.
This is great.
Brett, baby.
First of many.
Dude, even with the kids in the background, we were able to pull it off. This was an absolute blast. Where can the people find you, bro?
At Brain Buster Boys, mostly on Twitter. We have an Instagram, but I've not updated it in a while because I stink. We are having a big episode come out probably this Sunday. It could be Monday. The Origin Part 2. It's going to get wacky. It's all about how Bo and I met. And other wacky craziness that's going to ensue. But also we're on the Visionaries Global Media platform, just as this show is. So you can find us on all major podcasting platforms. And hoping to be joining the Wrestling Index at least once a week here in the near future. I don't know why it took us this long to do it, but hey, here we are, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And let's fuck.
Yeah, bro. I can't wait to continue to fuck in the future. I don't know why it took so long, but
by the way, really, random. Did you watch Lucha Underground? I wish I did, dude.
I love your shirt, dude. Devin, thanks for the shout. Great show. Awesome. Ivan, thank you for tuning in. Awesome conversation. Love it.
Thank you, everyone, commenting. Ivan, I look forward to meeting you. I've not like met you on a stream, but obviously we all support each other on the Twitters. So thank you for being here and commenting as well, because it's made it more fun for us.
Absolutely. Ivan, Devin, Bakley, Nick, Justin.
Justin,
if I missed any of you guys, sorry, man. Shout out to
Lee. We love you.
Ivan, thank you for tuning in, man. Brett, we're going to do this a bunch. Nick's going to come out a bunch. We're going to have a bunch of fun. You can find this podcast, The Wrestling Index, all audio platforms. Additionally, Visionaries Global Media. Check it out. Big shout out to Chad for everything he does. Thanks for putting this on there. Floor Slipper Sports YouTube, floorslippersports.com, list ranking sports wrestling. Thank you guys in the comments. Thanks for dealing with my kids. Prefer they take their naps. It is what it is. Brett, we'll talk soon. We out.
See ya.